called us to redeem our culture. We're supposed to be evangelizing it. And the important thing about Citizen Impact and these other lobby groups is that they are buying us a little more time and a little more freedom to do what God's called us to do in this day and age. And we need to take advantage of it. Now, we do need to, as we were just admonished, we do need to pray. Because the Bible says that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. He turneth it with us whoever he will. So we know that God is sovereign, and we need to pray for his will to be done. And then we also need to vote according to our conscience, which needs to be tuned according to the word of God. I want to say thank you to the young people who played the piano tonight. What a wonderful ministry and blessing. Continue to develop your talents for God's glory. You never know how God's going to use that in the future. All right, take your Bibles and turn with me to John chapter 1 for just a few minutes. We're looking at trees in the Bible. This is our last Sunday night Trees in the Bible series. And so we're going to be moving on to something else. The next couple of Sundays will not have Sunday night church. And then when we come back again in 3 weeks on a Sunday night, it will be a new series. And so just to kind of give you a heads up with that. But I trust you'll continue to study through the scriptures. And when you come across the mention of trees in the Bible, I trust that it will spark a little deeper attention that you pay to it, a little deeper study. So we're looking tonight at a tree of revelation. And there's kind of a double meaning in that tonight. And we're going to be looking in John chapter 1, verses 45 to 51, especially though looking or focusing on verses 47 to 51. So look with me, we'll read our context, kind of introduces our main text. The Bible says in verse 43 of John chapter 1, "The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets write." So who's he talking about? Messiah. We found Messiah, and he is Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. See, they were looking and praying and looking towards and expecting the coming of the Messiah for centuries. And Philip comes to Nathanael and he says, "We found him. This is the Messiah. And his name is Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And look at Nathanael's response. Nathanael, verse 46, said unto him, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Philip saith unto him, "Come and see." By the way, Nathanael was not in any wise being disrespectful. There was no small town competition between Bethsaida and Nazareth. It was simply that Bethsaida and Nazareth were in the same region. Matter of fact, they weren't that far apart geographically. And it's kind of like, what? You mean from here? From this small town? There's going to arise. Messiah's going to come from here? Are you kidding me? Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? What? And it was just kind of the familiar. And Nathanael almost stumbled over the supernatural because of his assumption of the familiar. And sometimes that happens to us. We'll talk about that in a little bit more. Now look at this in verse 47. Because the first thing I want you to see is that Jesus makes a statement about Nathanael. And he makes the statement before they have any kind of conversation. The Bible does not record that Jesus ever met Nathanael personally before this point. And Jesus says in verse 47 about Nathanael, "Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile." And Nathanael saith unto him, "Whence knowest thou me?" Where do you know me from? Have we met? How do you know me? That's kind of the question and the spirit behind that question that Nathanael responds with. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Behold, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee." Nathanael answered and said unto him, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. You are Messiah." Whoa, from Nazareth, right under our very noses. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Now, Nathanael today is generally understood to be Bartholomew. Bar means what? Anybody know? Son of. So Bartholomew is the son of Ptolemy. All right. So Bartholomew and Nathanael were the same person. But Jesus says, and we're not going to have walking mics tonight, but when I go like this, I want a verbal answer. All right. So speak up good and loud if you know the answer. And if you get it wrong, don't worry about it. All right. Don't be shy. It's okay. It's just us. All right. So here's the question. Who? Because Jesus said, behold, an Israelite indeed. Who was first called Israel?
Jacob
was first called Israel. All right, great. But what does the name Jacob mean?
Deceiver.
Deceiver, supplanter, literally heel catcher. Right? One who would have been filled with mischief and guile. So, what is guile? Just somebody shout out a one-word definition. What is another word for guile?
Deceit.
It literally means a decoy or bait, like hunting or fishing. A trap, to deceive, to trick. And so Jesus says, behold, of Nathanael, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. And immediately, Nathanael's mind goes to who? Jacob. Because Jacob was the first one called Israel, but Jacob was one whose life was originally full of guile until he came face to face with God at Peniel. And all that changed. And then he became Israel. Now, what or who is our example when it comes to guile? That's right, Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2, 20 and 21, for hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Get this, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. In verse 1 of that same chapter, we are commanded, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile. So for the believer, we are to lay aside all guile. There is not to be bait. A Christian, whether you're a salesman or whatever, or you're selling something on Facebook Marketplace, it should not be bait and switch. All right? I recently was in the market for buying used cars. A friend of mine, some of you know him, he's here at church, John Rice, helped me with that. And John knows cars. And so when I would look up something, a lot of times it'd be like, it would be Craigslist or it would be Facebook Marketplace. And so I'd find a car and I'd say, hey, John, can you go with me to look at this car? And he said, yeah, that would be fine. And he warned me. He says, sometimes these people will try to really clean up these cars and make them look good or run good for a few minutes. If you don't really know what you're looking for, you can really get tricked. He said, it's like putting lipstick on a pig. And you know what? There were several cars that John and I looked at. And when we walked away from the cars, I said, John, I think I just saw a pig with lipstick on. He says, yep, I don't think you should buy that car. And he helped me until we found a good car. So I'm so thankful for the ministry that John had in helping us with that. But you know what? When it comes to you selling a car or anything else, you need to be a man or a woman of integrity. We are to provide things honest in the sight of all men. There should be no guile in our mouth. When it comes to our business dealings, when it comes to doing our tax returns, when it comes to our kids calling us on some hypocrisy in our life. Am I starting to step on toes? It's the Holy Spirit. There ought not to be guile in our mouth. But it's interesting because when Jesus makes the statement and Nathanael's coming to him, Philip's saying, come on, I have found Messiah. Isn't it interesting? The Bible says that Philip had to find Nathanael. So he went and he had to find him, which means he didn't know exactly where Nathanael was, but he had a pretty good idea. He went and, aha, I found him. And he brings him to Christ. As Nathanael is coming with Philip to Christ, Christ says, behold, indeed is an Israelite in whom there is no guile. He's not saying that's what Nathanael was at that moment, just like he did with Simon. What did he call Simon? Peter. Jesus names him not for what he was, but for what Christ was going to make him to become. But I believe, and you're going to see this as we get to the end of the text, that that was part of what resonated in Nathanael's heart. Because I believe that he was thinking about this. And Jesus said, behold an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile. It goes back to what Nathanael was doing under the fig tree. Now, Jesus said before that Philip called unto thee, Jesus said, when I was under the fig tree, I saw thee. And that's what sparks this response. See, that fig tree was a place where Nathanael was alone. No one was around. And he realizes this is indeed the Son of God. This is the King of Israel, because he knows what I was meditating on under the fig tree. The rabbis actually had a phrase, under the fig tree, to describe their time when they would go alone to a place to meditate and to pray in personal devotion before God. So when Jesus says, before that Philip called on thee, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you, it was a place of solitude, it was a place of prayer and meditation. And so the personal omniscience of God, and I say personal omniscience in that Christ knew Nathanael. And he's saying, Nathanael, I see you. I know you. I even know what you were meditating on and praying about. And it reminded me of Psalm 139, how God knows us. Listen to verses 1 through 4, and then I'm going to skip down to verses 17 and 18. The psalmist prays and he says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and my rising, understandest my thoughts afar off, and art acquainted with all my ways. For lo, there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. How precious, verse 17, are thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. You may not be thinking about God every waking moment of your life, but every moment of your life, God is thinking thoughts specifically towards you. He said, there's 7 billion people on planet Earth. How can God do that? He's infinite. Amen. He's eternal. He's not bound by time. He's omniscient. There is nothing he does not know. He is infinite in love. There is nothing that does not touch your heart, that does not touch the heart of God. And his thoughts towards you are constant because of his incredible love for you. And he knows everything you're thinking and everything you're feeling, and things that you have forgotten, he still remembers. And things you've not yet faced, he already knows, and he cares, and he loves you. Isn't that an amazing thought? God's personal omniscience to you and me. How great is his mercy and grace. Nathanael acknowledges Jesus as the Son of God, the King of Israel. He says, only you as God could know what you just referred to when you said that to me. You are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Nathanael's statement and acknowledgement is absolutely clear. He is here declaring his conviction that Jesus is Messiah and that he's trusting in him as his Messiah. You are the King of Israel. I am submitting to your spiritual rulership and reign in my life. I claim you as my Messiah. You're the Son of God. Hey, let me ask you, have you done that? Have you ever understood, according to the word of God, that you have broken God's law? That's called sin. You committed crimes against God, and the wages of sin is death, not just physical death. Although we know that physical death is one of the results or fallouts of sin, for as by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Every time you go to a funeral, it's a reminder that there is a consequence for sin. And physical death is one of those consequences. There's a worse consequence than physical death, and that is the second death. Revelation 20:14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You say, Pastor Todd, how can I be assured that my name is written in the Lamb's book of life? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul and Silas told the Philippian jailer in Acts 16:31, and thou shalt be saved. You acknowledge before God, just like the man in Acts chapter 16, he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You acknowledge, I've broken your law, I'm a sinner. And Lord, there's nothing I can do to earn eternal life. I'm casting myself on your mercy. The Bible says in Romans 10 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You say, Jesus Christ, you are God. Just like Nathaniel, you are the Son of God. You're the King of Israel. You're the only Savior. I'm the sinner. I deserve eternal punishment because I've sinned against you, O holy God. But I know your love and your mercy and your grace are infinite, and you expressed that for me when you died on the cross. Because you are God in your supernatural power, you rose up from the dead, and you have the power to forgive my sin and to raise me from the dead and give me everlasting life with you forever. And though you don't have to pray that exact prayer because it's not a specific formula, that's got to be the cry of your heart in a personal transference of faith and trust from yourself or anything else that you're trying to do or believe in for eternal life, and put it all only in Jesus Christ. That's exactly what Nathaniel's doing here. He's saying, you're the Son of God, the King of Israel. And then Jesus promises to Nathaniel and his other disciples greater revelation. Look at this in verse 50 and 51. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, hereafter ye shall see the heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. When we respond by faith and obedience to the revelation that God gives us, he gives us more. Now, we understand that all divine revelation that we understand and believe is written right here in this book, the Bible. Okay? If there are any claims of divine revelation outside of the scriptures, then you compare to the scriptures and you reject anything that does not line up with the scriptures. Because thy word, O Lord, while Psalm 119:89 is forever settled in heaven. Jesus said in John 17:17, sanctify, make them holy through thy word. Thy word is truth. Jesus said, not one jot or one tittle shall in any wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. We have the eternal scripture, the revelation of God. And all of the claims to truth must line up against the scripture, and we choose by faith what God said, that his word is eternal truth. And when we respond to the revelation of God's word, because if you are a new creation, if you trusted Jesus Christ, the moment you've trusted him, according to Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 4, you receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and Jesus said he would send him when you believe in order that he may teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I, Jesus is speaking, have said unto you. Jesus said the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. But the word of God is the sword of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. You see, holy men of God spake as they were moved to the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Spirit spoke to the authors, the human authors, the apostles and the prophets. They wrote the scriptures, every word in the original language, divinely, supernaturally inspired of God, eternal, unchanging truth. And that same Holy Spirit indwells every believer. Don't you think he's the best commentator on the word of God? And the best life coach on the word of God? But you got to be filled with the Spirit. And how are you filled with the Spirit? You are submitted to the Spirit. And you cannot walk in the flesh and in the Spirit, Galatians 5. So walk in the Spirit. Crucify the flesh. Get into the Word. And whenever God reveals to you something in the Word, and God says, this is revelation of my truth, you say, yes, Lord. And whatever God demands of you to change in your belief system, whatever God commands you to change in your daily habits and lifestyle, whatever God demands that be changed in your life, you obey. And you acknowledge that understanding. And when you do, God will give you more. And that's what Jesus is saying to Nathanael. Isn't that exciting? Here's Nathanael. Picture this. Nathanael is under the fig tree. I believe he is meditating on Jacob's ladder. Because that's what Jesus referred to in verse 51. Look at this. Hereafter ye shall see heaven open. Didn't Jacob see that? Remember? He's in Bethel. He's using a rock for a pillow. And he sees the heavens open, and he sees what? There's a ladder. And what's coming up and down that ladder? Angels. And Jesus says, you're going to see, listen, it sounds a little odd, doesn't it? You're going to see the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Jesus is the ladder. He's saying, hey, Nathaniel, you are going to see, not in the distant future, some revelation. I am Messiah. I am here now. And you are going to see me, the direct connection to heaven and the Father. And you are going to see the power of heaven directly through me. Wow. And you know what? You get in the Word of God, Christian. You get under your fig tree. Now, it might be like me. It's your leather easy chair with your lamp, floor lamp. And you're under the floor lamp. That's my fig tree. In the morning with my Bible. And some time in the Word of God. And God knows what you're praying about. You see, because Jacob had been one that had guile in his life. But when he met God and he saw that vision of the ladder, we call it Jacob's ladder. Isn't it interesting it's called Jacob's ladder, not Israel's ladder? Because it's one of the confrontations God is having with Jacob because he's going to change him into Israel. And Jacob sees this direct connection with God through this ladder. And Jesus says to Nathaniel, that's me. I'm the ladder. You're going to see this. And it's what Nathaniel's been meditating on. And as he's meditating on it, he's saying, God, there's still guile in me. Take away the guile. Every bit, I want to be an Israelite in whom there is no guile. I want to be a true son of Israel. And that's why Jesus says to him, Nathaniel, indeed, here comes one, an Israelite in whom there is no guile. And Nathaniel's like, where do you know me from? And then Jesus said, when you were under the fig tree, before Philip came to you, I saw you. I know that you were meditating on Jacob's ladder. You were asking for more direct revelation from God. Have you ever prayed this? Lord, make yourself more real to me. Be more intimate to me. Be more personal to me. Reveal your power in my life. Reveal your truth to me. What about a fellowship with you? And Lord, as I gaze upon the beauty of your holiness, I realize how unholy I am. Would you cleanse me from that and make me holy as you are holy? And the Holy Spirit will then specifically point out what it is that needs to change. And for Nathaniel, it was guile in his mouth. It comes from the heart. And Jesus knew it. And Jesus says, I'm going to make you a man in whom is no God. I'm going to answer your prayer, Nathaniel. And you're going to have fellowship with me. And he that has seen me, Jesus said to his disciples, has seen the Father. You're going to see heaven. You're going to see God. Because Jesus is God. Isn't that incredible? Man, Nathaniel didn't see him in the far off distance. He didn't know Jesus the Messiah only as a theory or a prayer request. He saw him and he knew him personally. And you know what? If you are his disciple, God's no respecter of persons. You can have the same fellowship and that same direct connection with the divine Son of God who knows your hearts and knows your thoughts, and he will stir your heart through his Holy Spirit as you get into the Word and as he reveals things that need to change and you're praying through those things. You are praying to a God who listens and who answers, and who will change you. That's what he promised to Nathaniel. And that is what he promises to us. But one more point. How is it that Nathaniel came to Jesus? Look back with me in our text. Verse 45, Philip findeth Nathaniel and said unto him, we have found him. You see, Philip tells a startling bit of news to Nathaniel. We found Messiah. And guess what? He's from Nazareth, right here, the son of Joseph. Nathaniel says, can anything good come out of this? This is right under our noses. How can anything good thing come from our home region? Matthew Henry said, many people are kept from the ways of religion by the unreasonable prejudices they conceive. And look at Philip's answer. Come and see. Matthew Henry also said, noble remedy against such preconceived opinions. Philip, though he could not perhaps solve Nathaniel's difficulty, could show him how to get rid of it. So, Christian, we need to be like Philip. Because there are people who are searching for a relationship with God. And we need to be able to say like them, come and see. So how do we do that? Well, Matthew 5, verses 15 and 16. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Your daily conduct and life should preach out. Come and see. Man, what makes you so different? It's Jesus. Come and see. How come you got such joy and peace in the middle of everything that's going on in our world? It's Jesus. Come and see. How is it that you're not selfish and you're not deceitful and you're not backbiting and gossiping and you're not disrespectful of authority? It's Jesus. Come and see. John 13, 35, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one to another. Hey, come to church and meet my church family. And you will see the difference that Jesus makes in the community of believers. Come and see. And then 1 Corinthians 1:21, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Hey, I got questions. You're in a conversation with somebody. Hey, come to church. Come listen to my Sunday school teacher. Come listen to my pastor preach the word. You can't make it this Sunday? Hey, it's on live stream. You can do Facebook Live. It's on Boxcast. Come and see. Come and see. Through your life, the way that you live, through the community of believers and the way you treat your brothers and sisters in Christ, and by inviting people to hear the message of the gospel through Bible teaching and preaching, Bible studies, come and see. We've had a couple of our neighbors that have been coming to the ladies' Thursday night Bible study at our house. Come and see. God wants us to. I trust that this message tonight resonates with you. I trust that you've had that time in your life where you've said, Jesus, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. You are my Savior. I'm trusting only in you for eternal life. If not, hey, we're going to go back to the Music Academy reception in a few minutes. I'll be milling around. But you know what? More important than just talking to people and finding out more about the Music Academy, although I want you to do that, more important than eating whatever the refreshments may be back there, you need to come to Jesus, the bread of life. You need to drink from the well that never runs dry, Jesus. He will save you. I'd be glad to take my Bible and show you from the Word of God how you can know that your sins are forgiven, that you have eternal life. I can introduce you to Jesus Christ. Come and see. If you're a believer, be like Philip. Hey, we found Messiah. Come and see. Through your life, through your preaching, through your testimony, through your interaction. Hey, you know what is a great way to draw? You know one of the things that are so awesome about our cornhole outreach we do in the fall? It's that come and see. Come on and join us. We're going to have fun throwing these little bean bags on this board that has a hole in it. But you're going to meet my church family. And they don't know it, but we're going to love on them. And we're going to start asking them questions. And when they start talking about life things that are happening in their lives, we say, Jesus is the answer. Come and see. So let's be used of God like Philip. Let's be hungry like Nathaniel. Get under the fig tree. Get in the word. Get in prayer. The Bible says, God says through James, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. It's an invitation. Draw nigh to him. And the promise is he will draw near to you. Get in the word. Get on your knees in prayer. Draw nigh to God. Shall we pray? And then Pastor Mike, if you would come and lead us in the dismissing chorus. I'm going to pray. I'm also going to ask God's blessing on our time of fellowship and refreshment in the back. We'll stand. We'll sing a chorus of dismissal. And then please stay and go back to the fellowship hall and enjoy getting to know more about the Music Academy. Please thank these young people who've come and played for us tonight. Meet their families. Make them feel welcome. And let's enjoy some fellowship together. Our Father, thank you that we have been reconciled to you through the death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. That he is the way, the truth, and the life. That he is the ladder. Lord, thank you that you know each one of us. And you desire and have the power to transform us when we yield ourselves to you, when we draw near to you. Help us to get under our fig trees this week. And Lord, help us to get out in the community and search for those Nathanaels and invite them, come and see Jesus. Oh Lord, our prayer is also that if there's anybody here that's not put their faith in Christ for eternal life, that you would shine truth in their understanding, that the way of salvation may become simple and clear for them to understand, that they may respond personally to you and receive your gift. Lord, thank you for the refreshments that we're about to receive. May we be blessed by them. Thank you for the fellowship that we will enjoy. May we be encouraged. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and we'll sing and then be dismissed.